This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
We fell in love in high school.
Yeah, we were high school sweethearts.
But then after our junior year, his parents moved away.
But I never forgot her.
You never forgot me.
No, her face was burned on my brain. And it was 34 years later that I was walking down Broadway and I saw her come out of Toughen Eddie's.
We both looked at each other and it was just as though not a single day had gone by.
She was just as beautiful as she was at 16.
He was just the same. He looked exactly the same.
Hello, 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 everyone. I am back. It's actually been a couple episodes in a row, so I feel very proud of myself today. And I coerced my friend to come in here. And I'm turning myself down because I feel like I'm loud. Anyway, I have a friend. We have a movie. We have something to talk about. We're very excited. My friend's name is Melissa.
Hi. Melissa,
would you like to say anything?
I'd like to say hi.
She's saying hi. That's it.
That's it.
That's all it. I got. Okay. So if you know me, anyone in the world out there, just be warned that I may call you on a Sunday and just ask you to come in and podcast with me. But you agreed.
Yes. Some of us will just do spontaneous things like that. So here I am.
Yeah. And I love podcasting. One of the reasons I really like it is because, and maybe this is my pathetic way of getting people to sit face down with me and have a conversation instead of over the phone or through a text. But there is something about that, like just being able to just talk for the purpose of talking about something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how often do you do that?
I got to tell you, I'm honored to be here, by the way.
Oh, so, nice. Thank you for asking. Thank you. I'm so glad you're here. And so why don't you tell us, what was your pick?
My pick was When Harry Met Sally.
Classic. Classic. I mean, if you're listening to this and you don't know what that movie is, I might have to come to your house and like literally force you to watch it, sit you on the sofa, hand you some popcorn, and you have to watch this movie. But this is a movie that most people know, I would say.
I think so.
And oddly enough, like I know people that have seen it and they weren't around, like they've seen it, you know what I mean? Like recently or like in the past 5 years and it didn't come out, you know, it came out, let's see, let me go to my information. Can you guess when this movie came out?
Late 80s, early 90s?
I'm going to tell you right now. 89.
Okay.
So When Harry Met Sally came out in 1989. It is an hour and 35 minutes. Wow, what a treat. Movies now are like 3 hours long.
Yeah.
In fact, I really want to see, what is it? Killers of the Flower Moon, the new Scorsese movie.
Ooh.
With Leonardo.
I haven't heard of that one yet.
It's in the theater and it's 3.5 hours long.
Oh,
so.
My God.
What do they want us to do? Is there an intermission? Like, what do you do when you see a movie in the theater that long?
That's like the Ten Commandments.
It's true. I love you, Scorsese, but you really, the last couple movies are just so long. This is a, you know, it's Rob Reiner, Nora Ephron. I mean, classic, famous. What else do you have to say about this? And we have Billy Crystal, Meg Ryan, Carrie Fisher. Now, there are other people in this movie.
Bruno Kirby.
Okay. Bruno Kirby. Not really recognizing anybody else.
Was Rob Reiner in the movie or not?
He is in the movie.
Remember.
I think he's in it. Oh, maybe he's not. I think I'm thinking of Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah, that was me. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's when he's like in the diner with him or something.
His mother is.
That's right. His mother is. Look at your knowledge. I love it. All right. So if you guys don't know this movie, I'm going to just read what our trusty IMDb says about what the story is. So Harry and Sally meet when she gives him a ride to New York after they both graduate from the University of Chicago. Dude, Chicago!
Yeah.
Shout out to Stella. My daughter's in Chicago right now. The film jumps through their lives as they both search for love but fail, bumping into each other time and time again. Finally, a close friendship blooms between them, and they both like having a friend of the opposite sex. But then they are confronted with the problem. Can a man and a woman be friends without sex getting in the way? That is the burning question.
Yes.
And did they solve it?
Kind of.
Yeah. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'll ask you just to get us rolling here, because I have a tendency to like walk through an entire movie. So you thought of this movie, like, what is it about this movie for you that just either you just love it, or what is it? Is there anything you want to share?
It's a nice combination of the romantic ideals we have, but there's also some realism that's so darn funny. So it's a little bit of a fantasy, but it's also crashing through our fantasies in some ways, in fun, very funny ways.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy Crystal's hysterical. And Meg Ryan is just, she's adorable.
She's
and
Meg
she's
Ryan.
A good, I don't know what you call it. Is it called a foil or a partner in the comedy or the combination of the two of them? They're funny.
You're right.
Together.
There is probably a word for that.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I should know this. All my years of grad school didn't...
You're the artsy one. What's the word?
I should know the word for that.
Protagonist? I don't know what the word is.
Well, yeah, she's like the B character. She's the... yeah. I mean, actually, what's weird about this movie is like, I don't know who is the main character, actually. Is it Billy or is it her?
Or is it the relationship? Because you know all those little vignettes of those couples at the beginning and the end of the movie and how they met.
Yeah.
It seems like the relationship, plural, relationships are the star of the movie. Just a thought.
This movie lands on me in a lot of different ways differently now. What's interesting to me about it is when you watch it when you're younger, like I saw this movie pre-marriage, right? Like probably I was dating someone at the time. So I'm trying to think 89. Oh my God. I was in high school. All right, let's talk about this. I graduated high school in 91. So, yeah, I mean, I was just a kid. Like, I might have been dating at that point. Definitely something, for sure. But I think this movie definitely is a big, you know, it's like the romantic movie, right? About, like, falling in love and finding your person. So, of course, they set the whole movie up with, like, these older couples who have been together, or they're together now. They all have different stories, and like, they did it. They have it. They've done it, right? They are the epitome of love, a lasting love relationship, right?
But there's so many facets of it, and I think that's what's really interesting in those little vignettes.
Yeah, what did you take from that?
There's an Asian couple. I think there was an arranged marriage. There was a couple, I think one of them got divorced, and then they hooked up at Eddie Colicchio's funeral.
Right, they found each other again. So, yeah.
And then the couple who was living, I think, in the same building.
Yes.
Now that I'm older, I think I look at that even as a more beautiful storyteller than I did at the time that I saw the movie the first time, because love can happen in so many different ways. And that's the message I get when I think of those little parts of the movie.
Yeah. What did you think when you saw it when you were younger?
I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, it is really funny.
I loved the character of Marie, which is Carrie Fisher's character. And I could totally relate to the fixing up of your friend and all that nightmare, which I hate. But I love the way that Marie and I forget what Bruno Kirby's character is, they end up hooking up.
Right.
Even though Harry and Sally were trying to fix them up.
Yep.
How was it supposed to be? Marie was trying to fix... Who was trying to fix up who? Somebody was trying to fix up, but these two got together.
They were trying to... Well, because at this point in the story, Harry and Sally are friends.
That's right.
And they are trying to set... Yeah, so like Carrie's being set up with Harry.
Yes.
And then Sally is being set up with
whoever Bruno Kirby's
character. Right, exactly. And then what ends up happening is, of course, Carrie and Bruno Kirby's character end up liking each other.
Yeah.
And then those two are both like, great, here we are. Boom. Like, whatever. You know what I mean?
Let's
like,
take a cab and get the heck out of here. Yeah. I would love to have the the guts to do that.
So funny.
Like, no, I don't want the guy you fixed me up with, but this one will do. See ya. And they end up living happily ever after.
Yeah. And I guess that really the whole movie, it is a beautiful story and it is really funny. And I do think what's cool about it, and that's the whole point of the friendship aspect, is that these two people don't really like each other in the beginning. Then they reconnect in odd ways, right? Like, so they run into each other. Then they eventually become friends and they go through hard times through their friendship, right? Like relationship stuff. Like, they both end up divorced. And they are friends through that. Or maybe that's when they reconnect again, is when they both realize they're both divorced.
Wait a minute. I don't think Sally got married.
Oh, maybe she didn't get married. But he left her.
Yes.
Because there's that scene.
Yeah.
And she's going to be 40 someday.
Someday. And he's not going to take her to the airport anymore either.
And then Harry is married and then he gets divorced and... I don't know.
And where does he see? He sees her in the bookstore. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they start talking again. And I think he slowly becomes a human being to her.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know if I would have been able to articulate years ago when I first saw the movie. He softens. He becomes more of a real person than the I want to be dark side character that he is in the car on the way home from college.
Oh, right. You think he's presenting a dark side?
Yeah, and I think it's crap. I think it's just, I don't know, maybe that brooding thing worked for him in college. But I don't know that it's genuine. I think it's kind of, I think I've met people like that before.
Have you?
Yeah. If I'm dark and brooding, I'm way more interesting, that kind of thing.
Well, I think what's interesting about the story, and like maybe this is why the movie holds up so well, even today, is that whole concept that like, men and women are always going to have some kind of underlying attraction. If they're trying to be friends, it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
But once they really decide, I mean, that's when the friendship really begins, is when they kind of have settled into the fact that they're not going to like each other. Like that we don't, and then they're allowed to like just be themselves because that has gone away, which like allows the friendship to happen. Because in the beginning, he is flirtatious with her.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that. And then they like evolve. They get a little older. They have some experiences with other people in life. And it's kind of like, I really just want to be your friend. And I just want to be your friend. And like, let's give this a try. And when they decide that, it's like they decide. And then they can like just be themselves without something getting in the way for a while. Right?
Yeah. And I think he would have hooked up with her no matter what at the beginning. I think that was.
Yeah, I do too.
Just, I don't know. He just had kind of a one-track mind at the beginning, especially because he was dating her friend.
Yep.
He was dating her friend or roommate.
Yeah, is he a jerk or what? I'm just kidding.
He's kind of a jerk.
He's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
But he's Billy Crystal, so he just gets away with it.
I know.
Because he's funny.
Yeah, it's packaged in a way that it's humorous.
It is funny. I think I'll just admit this. This is what's interesting for me. And I wonder if this applies to, well, because I was with men and now I'm with women. So I'll just put this out there. But like, I'm trying to relate this movie in that way. Is it the same no matter what in terms of that? Like, And I think it probably is because it's not really about men and women. It's about attraction. That's what it's about. So like, could I be friends with somebody that I was like attracted to?
What do you think?
I don't know. I don't really know. I think it could get in the way in a lot of ways. Have you been in a situation where you were just friends with someone and there was no attraction?
Yeah.
How did that go? Like, did that work out? Are you still friends with this person?
No, I haven't seen him in a long time.
Okay.
But we were really good friends. We did a lot together.
Okay.
And we ended up getting thrown together in lots of scenarios. Like, he needed a date to a Christmas party or this or that. And I was like, sure, I'll go, you know.
Right.
But we had a conversation.
What was the conversation?
Should we be
We're not
going to
say who this person... Oh, okay, okay.
I've had that happen with a couple of people. And I think it was one of those, nah, it feels a little bit too brotherly, so no.
But the question is, would he have wanted to with you if you changed, if you had a different thought?
Of
right?
the two friends I'm thinking of, one of them would have taken it past a friendship. The other one, I think we were both on the same page about, it's kind of almost like a sibling thing. Like in Back to the Future. You know, when he tries to kiss his mom and it's like,
That's so
twisted.
Gosh,
that's so weird. I can't do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything stops. I think it was kind of a moment similar to that.
Hilarious that you brought. I know. I totally forgot about that too.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's messed up.
So, which is good. You know.
Yeah.
It turned out fine. We would still be friends if we were living in the same state.
You guys would still be friends?
Definitely. Definitely.
Have you been in a relationship? I'm gonna ask these questions now. I just go here. Sorry, everyone. Do you think? I think one of the comments this movie is trying to make about love, because it's a movie about love, right? Romantic comedies, they're about love. They're about romance and love and relationships. And I guess I think what this movie kind of is saying on the whole, is that the reason these two people really connect and fall in love is because they became friends. And so they can like have a deeper level of what ends up happening with them because of the fact that they allowed themselves to be friends and really just get to know each other
mm-hmm.
without this whole thing of the sex get, you know, that's the whole quote. I mean, the quote is literally this. It's here. Hold on. No man can ever be friends with a woman that he finds attractive. He'll always want to have sex with her.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
There's a part of me that thinks times have changed since the movie was made, where I think people are a little bit more aware of what it's like to be friends first. I think in the 80s, there was more of a dating ritual. What did he talk about? Going out to a restaurant, going out dancing and doing the white man's overbite. There was a tradition of more a formal dancing.
Yep.
I mean, dating dance ritual, whatever you want to call it then. Not that I know much about dating right now, but I'm thinking things are a little bit more down to earth about who you really are. But that's just me. I don't know. I don't have I'm not on a dating website or anything, so I hear it can be brutal. But,
I think people have a better understanding than that, but I think young people today are, I think it's worse, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's social media and technology has really adjusted the way that they see the world and see people and see each other and size people up. And
so there's more to hide behind now, huh? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, or you have to, I think there's pressure to present a certain way.
Yeah.
And be seen as, like, to be a certain thing for other people. And I think this is the time period where people couldn't do that. So you had to, like getting to know somebody, I guess you could have some phone conversations, but I think interactions were more face-to-face in the 80s, like in the late 80s, 90s.
Yeah, they didn't have cell phones.
We didn't have phones like we do now.
God, that's right.
And today people text each other. And this is so sidebar, everyone. I know I'm taking us to another land, but I watched a cult documentary and it was about people looking for love online. And this is a whole other show I could do, but it was, if you want to look it up, it's called Twin Flames, the cult of the Twin Flames or whatever on Netflix. And it was kind of terrifying for me because this happened all after COVID. So apparently, I didn't know this either, but we all know about cults, right? There's been all these shows about cults. There has been an insane number of online cults that have been reported by the FBI, whatever, the government or whatever, whoever researches this stuff. It says it in the show when you watch. I think it says it in one of the episodes. It'll say it at the end. But it's really bad. But people, because nowadays people, especially after COVID, some people don't like to socialize as much. Some people work out of their homes. Mm-hmm. They don't see as many people, or they're especially people that are not good at dating, or they have a hard time connecting. And these cults will attract people through the internet. And this one grabbed a hold of these people looking for romance and love. And some of these people lost years of their lives, like in the cult online, where they were only interacting with people through the online site. I think they only met with people in time over like over a couple years that this whole thing was going on. In fact, it's still going on. They haven't been able to stop it. It like they would have like one or two or three big meetups, like at a convention center or at a hotel or something with the people.
Yeah.
But these people were hook, line, and sinker, like bought into all the stuff that they were telling them to do, like spent all their money. They gave up their jobs, all because they believed this is going to help me find my one true love. And that's how desperate these people are. So like, what is that about? And that's all happening. And some people were having full interactions and relationships with people that they didn't even really meet for like 2 years, but they thought they had a relationship.
God, that's sad.
But that's my point, is like that could never happen. Like back then, that wouldn't have happened at all. You could never like build a whole relationship through phone calls.
But think about Marie. Wasn't she with a married man?
Oh, she was cheating.
She was the other woman.
She was the other woman.
Remember?
I remember.
Every time she'd find a receipt.
Yep.
He bought her this. He bought her that.
Well, she wanted to believe that he was really going to leave her. And then she's like, he's never going to leave her.
Yeah. How sad.
So there's something to that too. It's like how badly you want to find like your person, right? Like how badly you want to find that person and what, I don't know.
Would you manipulate to get that person or not?
Or you just
Marie did. She sent herself flowers.
Oh, wait, what did she remind me of this? What did she do?
She sent herself flowers that said, please say yes. Love Jonathan, to make the guy she's having an affair with be jealous that somebody else wants her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's manipulative.
And I had a friend do that to me.
What do you mean?
One of my girlfriends sent me flowers on Valentine's Day with a note that said, please say yes, love Jonathan. Because this was our favorite movie and we both thought it was hysterical that you're trying to get somebody else jealous by sending yourself flowers. And so, Amy, if you're out there, thank you.
That worked in your favor.
That was funny. Yeah. Poor Marie.
Yeah. I know. I'm kind of like going, I'm not even talking about the movie. I'm just talking about love now.
And I just went off on a tangent too.
No, so I like that. Well, I like to get personal on here, as you know.
Can I say something?
Yeah, I would love you to say anything.
What I find interesting, mm-hmm. especially looking back, is when Harry and Sally get in their first big fight.
Yeah.
She's basically telling him that he's not getting over whatever her name is, his wife, by sleeping with the whole city of New York, and she's not getting over Joe by not dating the whole world. So while they're in the middle of the fight, Marie and whatever the guy's name is, fill in the blank, Bruno Kirby's guy.
I'm sorry, I'm going to look it up right now. I feel bad, Bruno.
I feel like it's Les or some short name like that.
All right, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you. But keep going. I'll tell you in a sec.
They're moving in together.
It's Jess.
Jess. I knew it was like a three-letter name.
It's Jess.
they're arguing about a cheesy wagon wheel coffee table.
Oh, my God. I love that scene.
And when Harry says something about, you know, someday you might be divorced and the law firm of, you know, this is mine, that's yours, is going to be arguing over this stupid wagon wheel coffee table. That resonates a lot because I know what it's like to go through that. But he had a lot of good points. You know, the stupid things that we think are important and then you end up arguing over them. I don't know. It's just interesting in the midst of all the fun and levity that there are some thoughtful moments in it.
There's so many thoughtful, I think, lines in the movie and like real moments. I think one of the things I'll just say right now that I love about this movie is I don't know what that keeps resonating with me, but like when I really think it is saying like when two people stop trying to get what you want, they actually connect. Because that's the thing about love and romance. I think from a very young age, we're kind of roped into this, you know, like, oh, everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to fall in love. Everybody wants to be like worthy, you know, of that, like whatever that whole thing is, there's so much weight to that, right? Like, finding your person, falling in love, having all of that, you know, the life together, like the old people in the beginning. It's like, okay, here are all these couples, and they found each other, right? Through whatever circumstances, some early on, some through crazy circumstances, but they, like, that whole meant to be thing, like, exists in us. And I don't know if we get that from TV and movies or from our parents or from, like, what we see in the world, but it is a pretty heavy thing. And then we all can get caught up in, I don't know, not like she manipulates, like Carrie Fisher, her character, what's her character's name?
Marie.
You said that. Yeah. Duh, Tiffany. Marie, follow. Marie is really wants it. And to the point where she is now involved with somebody who is married.
Yeah.
And is telling herself, no, this is the guy for me. And she does so many things until eventually she realizes this isn't real. He's never going to leave her.
But she Which keeps is having to be reminded over and over.
But that is so strong that that's what it caused her to do, right? So that's, and everybody deals with it differently, this whole idea. It's like, and some people you think, oh, those people are lucky. And like, I'm getting personal with me, and I know you have some, like, I'm divorced twice now. Okay. So like, obviously I've been in this situation, and you think you're going to find the person and this is going to be it. And then sometimes life doesn't work out that way. And in the story, same for them, you know, like, Harry ends up married. It doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Sally, I guess she doesn't get married, but she thought she was going to get married. She thought she was going to have this life with this guy. Didn't work out, right? So they're both caught in, like, and then they're sad, and you're sad about it because you are building yourself up around this concept, and then it doesn't work out, right? So what are you? You're worthless. That's why that whole scene is so funny to me. It's such a fun, it's, I mean, everyone loves, there's certain scenes, right? But the one where she's crying and he comes over, of course, that's like.
Yes.
But she's like, it's like broke her because he met someone else. Isn't that what, why she gets upset?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah. Joe. Joe's engaged.
Joe's engaged.
Her name is Kimberly.
Okay. Go ahead. Remember, no, I love it. You knew the lines.
Her bawling. And I'm going to be 40 someday.
Right.
And hold me, Harry.
Well, and what's funny is she's sad way after the fact because it's now he hasn't chosen me. Like I, or like whatever, like it, you know, because I guess her original thought on the breakup was, I don't know, like whatever she told herself about that made it okay for her. And then now he gets engaged and it's really like, wow, like this isn't for me. Like I'm not going to, and I'm going to be 40.
Yeah.
I'm never going to have it. To me, I'm going to be 40 someday is like, it's not coming for me.
That's so sad.
And she's so young, right?
Now, I know, like, right?
You're going to be 40. What a joke. So that whole thing is so funny to me. But anyone who's lived a little bit of time, if you're not in your 20s or whatever, but like, of course that's not true.
But could we articulate, let's say we were best friends with Harry and Sally. What is Harry looking for in a relationship? What is Sally looking for in a relationship? I don't know if I'd have, I don't know if I could spell it out.
I think what happens, and this is what I think I'm saying, is like they both hit a low with where they're at and looking for love. And they're kind of like, whatever, let's just be friends. You know, like that's why that starts, because they stop caring about looking for love.
Mm.
And they just start caring about having someone to talk to and hang out with. And they don't really care anymore. They're just for the moment. And that's what allows the friendship to, like, I think, blossom between the two of them.
Yeah. They spend, what are they? They watch Casablanca on the phone together in their separate apartments.
Yeah. And that's, and then they kind of become like a couple because they just are allowing that to happen naturally without putting any like pressure on it.
Except something hits the fan at Marie and Jess's together. Wedding.
Oh, wait. Go ahead.
Remember, remember the toast?
No. Take me back. People that know me, please don't give me shit later. I can't.
What?
People that know. Because I should know every scene of this movie.
Oh, come on. That's crazy.
I should know it like, I mean, Kim, if you're out there, I know that you're sitting, if you're listening to this, you're going to be like, Tiffany, seriously.
I think Jess says something like, a toast to Harry and Sally, who, if either of us had been remotely attracted to either of them, we would not be here today.
That's it. That's exactly right. That's right. That's really true.
Which is the worst left-handed compliment ever. And I can't remember,
That's funny.
No, they sleep together, then the wedding happens, and then things hit the fan. I think that's the order in which it happens. I don't think the toast was upsetting enough to create conflict. I think they slept together first.
Well, then they sleep together, and then we're back to the whole premise of the whole movie, which is, all right, well, now they've had sex. Can they still be friends?
But they first have to call Jess and Marie and tell them, God, that's the best scene ever.
And they're so happy. And they're in bed, and they're like...
Yeah.
Yeah. They're kind of like, yay, they finally did it.
I heard they did a ton of takes on that scene.
Oh, really?
They went with the first one. Yeah. I saw some interview with Rob Reiner or something where she said, oh, no, that's not Jess. That's Brian Gumbel on the TV. He's like, oh, no, that's, you know.
Oh, because they're lying.
Yeah, they're lying. Yeah, they're both sitting in bed next
they're
to each
lying.
Other.
They're both lying. Yeah. I don't know why I have to get so personal on these episodes. I just do. But I do think like. Maybe I overanalyze everything too much, but it's interesting that that's how it happens for them, that they just built a friendship and then through the friendship, they fall in love.
It is nice to see.
Yeah.
And then it's got the last scene where he's chasing her that happens in every romantic comedy.
Well, they had to pull all the punches, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I realize I'm in love with this person.
Yeah.
And I have to... spend the rest of my life with her.
It's very much like The Graduate or like the running to the church, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I have to get there. And
was it 10 Ways? What was that movie? How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, right.
Didn't he? One
I
of
think
them?
So, yeah.
I forget who runs to who at the end. Yeah. I think every romantic comedy
it's
has
really
to
funny. This movie is so... I think the lines in this movie are so famous, and maybe it's just Nora Ephron, like she was such a good writer. But I did a, this is just sticking out to me right now. I just did a wedding last year, and I hear a lot of ceremonies. Okay. Like you hear the same things, you hear vows, you hear different things. And this guy was reading some stuff, you know, that he wrote, and then he ended his vows with that whole thing that he says to her at the end of When Harry Met Sally, because they're like movie buffs. And it was really funny because I was just photographing and I started to hear him talking and I'm like, wait a minute, what is he saying? I'm like, that's When Harry Met Sally. It was crazy.
Did you think it was romantic or did you think it was cheesy though?
I thought it was really cool actually. Yeah. Cause she knew it. I think it's like between the two of them, they must've had to love for like, obviously this movie.
Yeah.
And he's reading it with like, all the emotion, you know, like of that scene. And I thought that was actually really cool. But it just popped in my head because it's like such a famous like quote.
I think everybody wishes they could hear those words from somebody.
I wish I could pull up the whole thing. I feel like I'm gonna have to play it. If you guys are listening, I'll probably pop in some of these quotes in here after the fact. I mean, I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible. But he says all these little things. I love the way your eye gets like that. What is it when the forehead crinkles when you're looking at me and you don't understand what I'm saying.
You need a sweater when it's 70 degrees or something. Like that. The way you order takes a half an hour, something like that.
That's hilarious. But what is it about that gets us?
That somebody's noticing you.
Yeah. That he really knows her.
He paid attention.
He knows her. Yeah.
We want people to pay attention. And a lot of times they don't.
Yeah.
They have no idea how you like your coffee or your eggs or...
All right. Can I get personal?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. So what about you? Have you had... Like, do you feel like you had that in your life? Or when you say that right now, like, did you have a person that could say that about you? Oh boy, sorry. or is it like so special and unique that when people, women watch a movie like this, they kind of go like, man, that's what I want.
I think a lot of people say that's what I want. And I've had it at times where there are people who know how I take my coffee or my food, but did I marry those people? No. but it is appreciated.
Well, it's like really being seen, you know?
Yeah, it's nice that somebody paid attention. Actually, somebody at, somewhat off topic, somebody at work gave me a gift, and from a group of people, and this is somebody who's been dealing with their own stuff, and I was just so appreciative, and I was told, "I see you. I see what you're doing." Those were the words. And I appreciate what you're doing. And it's so nice to hear somebody say, I'm paying attention and I see what's going on in your life and I appreciate you being there. I've never had somebody say, you know, to the detail that Harry goes over with Sally about the little crinkle in her nose. And it's adorable. Well, who doesn't want to hear those things? And who's astounded that somebody notices those things? Unless it's just me. But I think there's a lot of people out there who would be just blown away that somebody even notices the way you do tiny little things like that. The whole movie, I think, represents what we wish. There's a, definitely a fantasy level, but I think it's dispersed with some reality, some of those stories. And I think they're real couples. I'm not 100% sure, but I think
they are.
Oh,
in the beginning.
Yeah, the little...
I should find that out.
The little vignettes.
Let's ask the trusty webs, interwebs. Are the couples in... I should probably just... Okay.
Yeah,
here we go. That's... It already filled it in. Okay, so they are real stories that the director collected for the film, but he had hired actors play the stories.
Gotcha.
So they are real stories.
What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite one of them?
Of the old people?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think which one, what they were. I don't know why I'm remembering. I don't even remember the full thing, but like, wasn't there one where the guy... Like, he just always saw her and he always liked her or something about her. And then, like, they eventually end up together, but it's later. What was that
one? Is that the guy who connected with her at a funeral? Is that the same
guy? I think that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
But see, but even for me, that's such a bullshit fantasy idea. Like, that's not realistic. I mean, I can say now, I mean, this is really, this is why I like, talk about movies, everybody. I just need to process my own shit on here. There's something about how we define love as we get older. And I wonder if my experience has changed that idea so dramatically because of the fact that I've had fallouts and I've had things not work out. And I've had to learn more about myself and more about like, what are all of those things for me? And like, what is it that I really want in a relationship? And like, how do you define love? I mean, that's a whole other topic, but like, that's something that we don't talk about a lot in the world. I think we say words like falling in love and you have like these ideas from movies and TV, right?
And the term falling in love almost seems like it's a giant vacuum that sucks you in whether you want to be involved in it or not. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think I wonder how much of what we have been fed is what gets people into not being able to connect. Because I think sometimes, like, I mean, I do think with me, like, obviously I've just, it happens easily for me for some reason. I will just say, I don't, well, I mean, I'm just being honest. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm in a relationship right now. I didn't really go looking for it. I mean, I could easily have a story like that. That's like, okay, well, I just happened upon here and this is this, and that's what happened. And then we just clicked and, but I'm very open. Like, I am a person that is, and maybe I am a romantic. I'm very open to the possibilities of anything in life. And I have friends that are my age that are still single and they really struggle, but they're also very choosy and very particular. And I'm sure they wouldn't operate like I operate at all around people. And even the ways I've met the people I've met in the past. I mean, I've done crazy things. Probably because I've been obsessed with movies my whole life and I buy in, you know, to the concept that like, I don't know if you know, love is there and things will just be great. I mean, did you, I don't know if you can relate to that at all, but like, I don't necessarily think that way. I still think I'm really open and I think I like to like just throw the, roll the dice and like, you know, take chances. But I also think my version of what love really is has changed. quite a bit.
Mine has too.
Well, how has it changed for you?
Like in college, it mattered to me if you were a good dancer. Like now, I
yeah. Like, what was the requirements? Like, you know, I mean,
you had to be cute. You had to work out. You had to be fun. You had to be a good dancer. All that stuff. Yeah. Now I don't care, but I still think you got to be physically fit in some way and somebody trustworthy.
Okay. See, so you still have...
So I'm 60 now, but okay. That's important to me.
So how do you know if someone's trustworthy?
I don't know, because I'm not willing to take the risk right now. I'm not there yet. I'm not rolling the dice just yet.
You aren't rolling the dice yet. Yeah.
I feel like there's an alcoholic under every rock right now.
Well, I mean, and this is funny, because the last two episodes I have been talking about recovery themes and a little bit of the world of recovery, and that takes a whole other slant, you know, on your ability to get into a relationship after you've been in a relationship with somebody who, you know.
Yeah, who let you down. You know what, though? It reminds me of the conversation that Harry and Sally have while they're watching Casablanca.
Remind me.
And she is arguing with him about leaving. Ingrid Bergman leaves on the plane.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Sally argues with him. Women are very practical. What is she going to do? Stay behind?
Oh, right.
As Rick works in a bar the rest of his life?
Yes. Great scene.
So she's got a point. So where was I going with that? Why did I bring that up? Shoot. Now I forget what I was going to say.
Okay, we'll give you a minute.
I don't know. They're talking about their priorities. Yeah, I can't remember why that brought it up. It was important for a second, and now I don't know why, so sorry.
We can get you back there. Is it like when you were saying you first looked, well, you were talking about like how love has changed for you, like the concept of it, and like what you were looking for when you were young and what you think now.
I'm also very jaded right now, though, too.
Right, you're not in the right place, yeah.
I wonder... When I think of all those little couples in the movie who talked about how they met, I'll pretend in my mind that they're real couples for now, because I don't want to believe they're actors. I want to believe the stories are real and the people are real, because it makes me feel better.
Sounds good.
But I kind of feel like that those stories are for somebody else.
Oh, like you don't, that's not going to be for
that's
you.
That's not going to be me.
Why?
I'm not going to be the, so what are you doing at the funeral? Let's go get a drink, and then we fall hopelessly in love. Or the guy that lives in my building or in my neighborhood all along was.
How interesting.
You know. But that could be something that changes with some time. It could. Healing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But I guess I would, let me ask this. So if you were to like not be looking and then something just happened, where you met somebody, like just happened,
mm-hmm.
and you guys had a friendship, like, what are the qualities, like you said you were looking for specific things previously in life, like your concepts of like finding a partner or love would be like, okay, I would like this person to be this and this. What are the things that you think now that you've been in a relationship, marriage and things like that, you know, would be the things that really matter to you? And like, what is more important than just when, like, for example, like Harry saying his perspective shifts around the wagon wheel scene.
Yes.
So like he's saying like, you know, you guys aren't where I've been. Like, trust me, this doesn't matter, you know, because he's learning what really matters to him now.
Yeah.
And I do think that like for me personally, the fallouts I've had in my relationships with, you know, being married and having a lot of expectation and hoping things would go a certain way. When I've had some time to think about how those things went and my part in those things, how little I understand about myself and how much I expected somebody else to fill in the gaps. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like coming, that for me is bringing it into like a recovery topic, because I did, you know, I love, but and I'm just going to bring up Al-Anon a little bit. What I do love about Al-Anon for me, and even though I didn't like this in the beginning, is it really forced me to look at myself. And I think I was really upset with the world and, you know, like the poor me, like why did this happen to me sometimes? But the truth is, I don't know how well I showed up in those situations. And I don't know how clear I was, and it really was unfair for me to expect somebody to just be like a Harry or be like a, I mean, it's putting a lot on a person who showed me pretty clearly who they were. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to believe who they were. So what, that's the point too, is like, how much are we putting on other people expectation of like love and romance and partnership when you don't even have that conversation? It's almost just implied.
Hmm.
And so for me, that's the change for me, is that like, I need to figure those things out. Like, what is it that really matters to me? And what do I really, I'm shouting out to another interesting, this isn't a movie at all, but I was Jay Shetty wrote a book called, I think it's called like The 8 Love Languages or something like that. He's like a author. He wrote like Think Like a Monk.
Yeah, that one, okay. I've heard of.
Yeah. So I haven't read the book yet, but I've listened to him podcast about, this whole thing with love, and that's what the book is about, is how confused people are around the concept of love, and how you can like really, if you like really start thinking about it and figuring out, and really a lot of it comes down to like figuring out who you are. So like, you got to know, and I think this is so true, and you could, and if you asked me this when I was like 21, I would have been like, buh? Like, I would have had no idea, like, mm-hmm. what are your values, like, what do you care about, like, what, you know, what are the key things that you are? And then once you know that, you can like figure out what are those things you want in a partner.
I think I'd need to dumb it down for myself at 21 though. Like, if somebody said, what are your values? I'd need more specific. What do you mean by my values?
Right. Like,
what's a deal breaker in a relationship? What's not? And it did come to mind that Sally and Joe broke up because she wanted kids and he didn't.
There it is. Yes.
And I think she thought she could deal with it, and she couldn't. So she wasn't being honest with him or herself about what she wanted in a relationship.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, a lot of us try to be chameleons to mm-hmm. who we're with, because it's easier to just agree with somebody. And then when you come down to it, you know, you find out what your real self wants and if you're going to be happy that way or not. She could have used some Al-Anon.
But it's just what everyone does. Or you think that love will conquer all. I think some women also think, and I'm not just going to say women, I think some people think, and they would admit this, but like, they get into things like that and they're kind of like, I mean, he says that now, but he's going to change his mind.
Yeah. He's, you know, a bad
like,
boy
he's
now.
He's not old. He's not there yet. He's still in the middle of his career. He's like really climbing the ladder. And like, in a few more years, he's going to want to settle down. And then we can have kids. And I think he'll change his mind. Like, we are doing stuff like that with people, right? Like, you kind of, I mean, you hear people talk about stuff like that. And I think but they're showing you that in the movie too.
You see Harry mellow to a guy who's ready to sleep with his girlfriend's friend. He would have in a second if Meg Ryan agreed, to a guy who slowly mellows after his divorce. So in a way, it's almost like we want to control the evolution of another person to our convenience.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No. And then I'm like, is it age? Is it experience? Like, in the story, it's a little bit of everything for them. And then I'll ask, this is like, I know we're getting like, I'm getting to, now I'm going right to the end. Okay. Because we all love this. He's running to her. He realizes, now, when is it that can you remind me, when is it that he has the moment of realization that, like, I want to be with Sally? Like,
New Year's Eve.
But what happens before that that makes him, like, want to go there and tell her? Because they have, let's try to figure this out. Okay. Actually, I had the movie in front of me right now.
She's at a New Year's Eve party with Jess and Murray. I think Harry is home.
Something must, because they sleep together, things go awry, because then they don't, like, it doesn't go well after that, right?
And then she avoids his phone call, and he leaves the funniest voicemail message.
What's the voicemail message?
He says something like, either you're out of town or you're trapped under something heavy. And then he leaves a singing one.
Right. Yeah, I remember this now.
Call me. Yeah. He starts singing one to her. His message to her, hysterical. But why are they not speaking? Is it because after they slept together, one regrets it and they don't want to admit that they... I can't remember.
Well, I think they sleep together and she's like all into him the next morning and he has to get out of there.
Oh, that's right.
So he repeats the pattern of what he's even told her about, which is that like... Right. He doesn't do well, like, when he hooks up with a girl, like, he just has to get out of there.
I have an early racquetball game excuse is right. The one he uses.
And then the
girl.
Funny thing is that she already knows this about him.
Oh, that's right.
So he, like, upsets her because she thinks it, like, means something. And then he kind of does acts like it doesn't because he's scared and he's kind of like, oh, shit. He hasn't even been able to process it. And then...
But I kind of don't blame him in some way because right. That night she's crying about Joe in his arms. So that's kind of unfair for her to expect a comfort from him and then sex from him that's going to spin into a relationship. I mean, there's a lot of expectations.
There is, but that, and this is honestly, this is why this movie's awesome, because they're actually, even though they're showing you so many romantic pieces, they're also showing you reality a little bit. Like, to me, that's a very real moment, which is like, if we were watching an old time movie like Casablanca or something, like, I'm sure that they would like fall into each other's arms and have this amazing night and then they'd be together. Like, that would be it.
The end.
Put a bow on it. It's over.
Yeah.
Story done. They're in love. That's it. But that's not what happens. And in life, that's probably more realistic, like you said, is for him to be like, whoa, 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 that was crazy. Like, did we just do something we shouldn't have done?
Yeah.
And she's confused by it. And then.
What does it mean?
Yeah. And then what does it mean? And then I'm trying to remember what happens in between. Oh, I'm finding it right here. Look at this. The internet's amazing.
Awesome.
It says, it's when, this is what Sally says to Harry that makes him finally realize he loves her. He calls her to invite her to a New Year's Eve party, but because he can't find anyone else to go with him. And she says, I can't do this anymore. I'm not your consolation prize.
Got it. Now I remember. Yes.
And so I guess that's like the pivotal moment.
Oh my gosh. This reminds me of one of my friends. I had a friend, a guy friend, who had two women who were wrestling for priority in his life as far as being a girlfriend. He didn't want to commit to either one.
Okay.
So sometimes he knew if he asked this one to a black tie or that one to, you know, it would cause friction. So I was the tiebreaker.
Oh my God.
The platonic tiebreaker really? Friend who would go to some events with him because the other two would go berserko if the other person, you know, it's just funny. Why did I bring this up? I can't remember. Consolation prize.
Yes, consolation prize.
Yeah, but I didn't care because I wasn't remotely interested in him in a romantic way, but those two girls were just vying for.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's just like, he's just a fun guy. There's no way I would want anything romantic with him. It's just.
That's funny.
He's a good time. But yeah, I can't imagine feeling like a consolation prize. That's very sad.
Yeah, and I think maybe there's a montage we're missing where he, like, I'm like remembering this. Is there like a part where he's sitting and thinking about all their times together?
Probably.
I mean, this, and that's where it becomes very like classic movie, like where he's remembering her and like having this awareness, like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, yeah. She's not the consolation prize. Like, look at all these times we've had together and like, look at our relationship. And then he has to run to the party and tell her.
But how many people do not have that moment of clarity who are treating you like a consolation prize and the light never goes on?
Yeah. I mean, I'll even admit like, I'm kind of nuts like this. Like I would get, and I think we had breakfast earlier. We were talking about like, Italian movies. And like how people get emotionally crazy and they fight or do whatever. And they want to like, I don't know, under the veil of like, I'm so crazy about you. I'm so in love with you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to chase. Cause there's a flip side to that coin of like someone chasing you down.
Yeah.
You know, because they're so in love with you and they have to have you. And like, it's almost selfish, you know, but it's seen as like romantic, I guess.
And we're taught to believe it's normal when you're passionate.
You know, but I do like, I think the reason the scene works really well is because he does do that. Like, he's having his moment. I mean, this is funny. This is how I think now. Sorry, everyone. I'm ruining all the romance movies for you. But he has this like realization. Now he's in his moment and he's not really thinking about where she is right now. She's in her life. She's at the party. She's trying to have a good time and she's doing her thing. And he just asked her to do something that she was like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. I'm not your consolation prize. And so now he runs in there and he wants to like tell her all this stuff. And I think what she first says is that you can't like, you can't do this.
Yeah.
Oh, she, I have the whole thing here.
Tell me what she says.
Let's just walk through it.
Okay.
Everyone, now we're going to do a cold read with Tiff. I'm going to be playing the parts of Sally and Harry. Everyone ready? 3, 2, 1. I'm just kidding. Here we go. Harry says, I've been doing a lot of thinking and the thing is, I love you. And she's like, what? And he's like, I love you. And then she says, how do you expect me to respond to this? How about you love me too? Mm-hmm. How about I'm leaving? Doesn't what I say mean anything to you? I'm sorry, Harry. I know it's New Year's Eve. I know you're feeling lonely, but you can't just show up here, tell me you love me, and expect that to make everything all right. It doesn't work this way. Mm. So she is like, sorry, this isn't a movie, right? Like, you can't just roll in here.
There's rules, and you're not obeying them.
It's not okay. And then he says, well, how does it work?
Uh-huh.
I don't know, but not this way. And then now, this is when he launches into the speech. Yeah. Should I say the speech?
Go for it. I'm already swooning. Oh,
are you?
Yes.
He's like, well, how about this way? I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I can't even see. I love it. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I love that you get a little crinkle above your nose when you're looking at me like I'm nuts. I love that after I spend a day with you, I can still smell your perfume on my clothes. And I love that you're the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. And it's not because I'm lonely, and it's not because it's New Year's Eve. I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible. And then she says the best thing ever. She says, you see, that is just like you, Harry. You say things like that and you make it impossible for me to hate you. And I hate you, Harry. I really hate you. I hate you.
God.
Right?
Yes.
So what is really going on here? But she's saying, I love you.
I know.
But wow, what a scene. It's funny that I'm like reading it and I can like really remember it now. Yeah, and I guess that's what's funny is it's really romantic, but like, is that selfish? It doesn't really put her in a good spot.
Yeah, it is.
It's very impulsive.
It's his convenience, his timing. But you can tell by the look on her face that she loves him.
She does.
Yeah.
I think what's hard for me a little, I'm just going to say this. I'm sorry, everyone. You can hate me later. What is it about women and wanting to be chosen? Because it's such a moment where he's saying, like, I choose you.
And then she acquiesces.
And she either just has to, like, accept it or not. And it's like, but what do you want?
Yeah.
I think that's the problem is there's no conversation about, like, what do you want, Sally? It's just like, you're supposed to like do like the old movies and just put your hand on your head and oh my God, you know, and like fall into the guy's arms or something. And it's kind of like, but that's the classic. I want to be, you know, like choose me.
I know. And she did choose somebody. She chose Joe. He didn't want to have kids.
Right. So,
and she might have forfeited kids with him.
So maybe. I guess it's way more boring if you had a scene where
she said no.
Well, not even that. Here's how this would go on a practical, on a healthy level of having a conversation about, do we want to be together? This is so boring and nobody would give two shits about this scene. Let's imagine he called her up and said, hey, listen, I've been thinking a lot about how things have gone and I know you have a busy night. I know you're going to this party. I don't want to interrupt your time. So can we schedule a lunch so that we can talk about our feelings and I just really want to talk to you and tell you how I feel. boring. Nobody wants to see that. We want to see him run down the street, bust into a New Year's Eve party, and just slam it at her that way, and have her be like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
And it's a great story, and you can tell it when you're 80 years old at a party.
Does it ever happen? Does it ever happen?
Everybody loves it. You know, I think it does happen.
Do you know anybody who got engaged that way? Somebody sprinting down the street. I finally realized I love you and I'll spend the rest of my life with you.
And
they all do the wave.
Do you know? I mean, I will say doing what I do for a living, I've seen a lot of like over the top proposals and elaborate things. Because
so you
people,
do proposals too, not just weddings?
All the time. I mean, I did so many this year, out of control. Yeah, and they can be pretty like planned and elaborate, and parties afterwards, and some of them, yeah, people spend a lot of money on a proposal. Yeah,
does anyone say no?
No, but
be great photographs.
I mean, no, I mean that would be hilarious. No, no offense to anyone, but I would literally be like, damn, she knew what she wanted to say. I think most of the time when I've done them, the girls kind of know what's happening. Yeah. Like it's not even really a surprise. Like, they just play it up. They're like, oh, my God. They're like, I knew you were doing this. I already knew when we came this weekend. Like, they just know. So it's not even, like, it's not always such a surprise. So people do that. They don't do it in the moment like that. But there's definitely, like, people planning to, like, wow the other person with, like, this moment, you know.
It makes me sad, though. I think of a pretend Instagram surprise proposal now. You know what I mean?
Is that what you think?
It's like, yeah, pretending it's spontaneous and I don't know.
I mean, I'm just going to say for me, anybody who cares, that stuff doesn't do anything for me anymore. Like, I think it held weight when I was younger and like now, I don't think that would do anything for me.
I think the relationship counts way more than the image of the relationship.
Yeah, like the simplest things matter to me now, like huge, in ways that like I would prefer over any other thing. Like just the simplicity, little things.
Somebody who does what they say.
Yes. Yes.
Carries a lot more weight.
Doesn't it?
Than, you know, a marching band and a proposal or something like that. Yeah, the little things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Knowing you can ask something and not being afraid to ask for a favor from someone.
Yeah, I think that's really big.
It sounds so
scary,
little and stupid, you know? But those are the things. Those are part of the things that I think are important.
Yeah. I know, it's funny. At first, when I was thinking about this movie, like, I'm thinking, like, did these people just decide to settle? Is that what just happened here?
Hmm. Or were they just meant?
Well, because you said like someone has to be attractive, right? Like, I'm going to be really honest, Billy, you're awesome, but you're not attractive to me.
No, he's not handsome.
And I know I'm gay now, but I was not attracted to you when I was straight. So, but he's not, right? No. I mean, look who Sally's with before. Yeah. Billy. Yeah. And I mean, Sally's a catch, right?
Did you see Joe, her old boyfriend at the airport?
Yeah, he's attractive.
Blonde.
Yeah.
Joe. Gerald Ford's son or something. I'm such a nerd. Yeah,
that's
I know
awesome.
These things.
But like, I'm just saying, like, is there a level of like, okay, well, here we are.
He's funny, so he gets a pass.
We get
in the
along.
Looks department.
We get each other. Let's do it. You know, like, is there a level of that or?
I think there's a level of funny guys do get a pass in some ways.
Why? Because their personalities just wins you over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that has something to do. Why isn't the same with funny women, though? Do they get
I think
pass?
It can be, yeah. I mean, I think it's the same.
Yeah.
I do. But everyone's attraction is different.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I will even say for me, it's just, I mean, good God, it's totally changed. I mean, like, I can.
I know. I can't compare it to the wide range
like,
that you
have. I've just gone into another universe, apparently. I mean, yeah, attraction does change. Well, there's physical attraction and then there's like, I mean, there's a different level of attraction. I mean, I will ask you this. So like, have you ever dated somebody who you were super attracted to, but their personality was so like blah that like it didn't even matter? Like, you couldn't even be attracted to them because of their personality. Or does the looks really take over?
There was somebody with the where the looks and the chemistry definitely took over, but I kind of wish he was a little funnier or sharper in some ways. And then sometimes it's the other way around. It's like, God, you're so funny. I wish you were better looking, you know.
It's funny. I have to admit, a guilty pleasure, I have been watching The Golden Bachelor. So have you seen this show?
No, I refuse. You should watch it. That guy's like my age. I
know,
can't.
But it's such a great, stupid show to watch. But like, I'm really sorry. I love it only because I had a point with this.
Please tell me why you like this show. Give me
I've never watched any of The Bachelors because I do not like reality TV, like at all. I'm always watching like serious shit or crime or drama series or something that's way too intense and never, and not even funny. I don't even watch funny shows. But Julianne, you got me into watching The Golden Bachelor. You did it. I think what's kind of cool about it is, I think because they're not all these like perfect looking people and they're like people of older, you know, older aged people with pasts and stories. So that's why I think people have been watching like more. There's more of an audience for this one because people are like, wow, it's got like some heart to it because these are women that are like, I don't know. It's just different. Like they actually have lives and they're like looking for love and all this stuff. So it's kind of interesting. And we were watching like the last episode. This is so stupid. He's down to like two women. Mm-hmm. This whole setup is insane, by the way.
Oh, I hate the whole premise.
The whole thing is ridiculous. But I will say this was something kind of true that rang from it, even though it's a ridiculous reality show and it's probably so orchestrated, is that he's with these two women. Anyone watching, you'll love this chat. And he seems to be in love with both of them. But the funny thing is, you're watching him on this one day with one woman and then you're on the other, and he is like two totally different people and he's not aware of it.
Oh my.
Like he thinks like he feels the same, but then like if he could step outside of it, we were watching, I'm like, are you an idiot? You are so much happier with this other woman. Like you're totally fun and you're like yourself and you're relaxed, and then you're with her and you're all like buttoned up and like acting weird. And I think like for me, what a big indicator of like how I am with a person is trying to pay attention to how I am when I'm with that person, which I never used to think about as much. And I thought of that when I was watching the show. And it's like, who am I when I'm in the space of this other person? And do I like who I am?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because I think I got so focused on like looking at that, the outward thing. And then I forgot to see like, God, what am I like
so when I'm here? So who do you pick?
Well, it's next week. We'll find out. Okay. But I thought that was really interesting. Because, and I think in the movie, I'm coming back to this movie. I have been all over the place, guys. Sorry. And I hope I let you talk enough on this episode. But I didn't, right?
Yes, you did.
Did I let you talk?
Let me talk. Absolutely.
I think that like they are really themselves when they're with each other, Harry and Sally.
I think that's what makes them for each other.
Right. Like they really allow themselves to be who they are because they're not trying to do anything but just be. And they accept each other like exactly as they are. I mean, I will say that in the story, like they love the fact that he can say, I love your flaws. I love when you do this. I love like that's love. That to me, that's love. If you can love somebody through all of that and still love being with them and love how you are when you're with them and you feel like you're totally you and you're totally embraced for who you are. I mean, what else is there?
Yeah.
And that whole,
but I guess you got to know who you are.
Got to know who you, that's the Jay Shetty piece.
You got to know who you are.
You got to do the work. You got to know who you are because then you can't do any of those things with anyone else.
Or you're pretending to be something you're not.
And you're not aware of it. So that's not anybody's fault. And how many people do it? Everyone does it.
Yeah, I know.
So the real trick
is, I love sports. I'll watch football with you all weekend.
Did you do that?
No. I don't like sports. I mean, if I know somebody's playing.
Do you like sports?
Eh.
Eh, I don't like sports.
I think it's a big waste of TV watching. But you know what? I've always lived in Delaware. I've never lived in a place where we have a team. We don't have a football team in Delaware.
We don't have a football team.
We have to
team.
Borrow one from other states.
Right. Philly or.
So to me, that diminishes the loyalty.
I guess that's true.
And if I know somebody who's playing, I will watch. But I don't know any of these NFL players or whatever.
No.
Well, in college, I didn't watch too much either. And I knew some people who were playing. So I guess that wasn't good.
I think it's okay. I mean, we are what we are. I think that's what I've learned is I've learned that a little bit, which is good. And yeah, The Golden Bachelor.
Oh my God, I can't believe you watched it.
I know. Everyone's like, what? Tiffany, our film person? No.
How old is he? Do you know how old he is?
Shit. Well, I know a lot of the women are between like 65 and 70.
Okay.
So like he's got to be in that range.
Okay.
He's, I think the youngest are six. Yeah. I mean, the two choosing, I think they're like, I think one's 65. I don't know. It's just funny. It's not funny. Like, haha, look at those people. I'm making fun of them. But like, it's lighthearted, I guess, on some level.
It's so cringy to me.
I mean, I would say the same. And then somehow I started getting into it. I was like, what's Gary going to do?
Can you see me getting out of a limo in a gown, meeting some dude that I'm willing to share with 50 other women? I mean, come on. Who does that?
It's a ridiculous premise. It's like, there's so much wrong with it.
Do we have the honeymoon suite today? Oh, yay. You know?
Oh, so you've seen it before.
Oh, yeah.
I've never watched The Bachelor. So I'm literally like, and that's what just happened on this one, where they're like, are you going to go to the fantasy suite? And I'm like, with Julianne, I'm like, what are they going to go do in there? I'm like, is he going to bang both of these girls?
Yeah.
And tonight? And then he's going to pick one? I'm like, this is...
And he's going to dump one. I mean, the pressure's totally on, right?
Insane.
It's ridiculous.
I'm like, that is so twisted.
And his grandkids are probably watching.
Oh my God. Messed up.
Grandpa's going to hook up.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you're right. That's a little bit weird.
It's
so weird.
What if it was like your dad? Can you imagine?
I could not watch that. No, thank you.
Oh my God.
No, thank you.
No way. No,
thank you. Well, I've taken us on a journey from, I guess I'll say, let me ask you, tell me your like, maybe like one or two of your favorite scenes in When Harry Met Sally.
I love when him and Jess are at the football game.
Yeah.
And they're doing the wave and Billy Crystal is telling him about his wife asking him to date other people. And he was like, why the heck would I want to date other people? But the whole funny thing about the conversation is they're doing the wave in the middle of the conversation about how his wife wants to date other people. He goes, why would I want to date other people? I'm married, blah, 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 you know. And Jess tells him that's a symptom. It's a symptom of something wrong with the marriage. And
right.
He said, well, that symptom is stooping my wife, so to speak.
You're right. This movie is great. Like, I love...
What's your best scene?
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to think about it now. I mean, I'm like you. I'm a big fan of Carrie. And I have, like, a weird... Like, I just love Carrie Fisher. I also... My friend Kim worked for her for many years. So,
no
like...
Way.
Yeah. So, I, like... I just... I think through that and then through knowing that she... You know, and I met her once or twice briefly, very briefly. But, like, her character's great. I just think she's a great... She plays a good character in this. I love her dry sense of humor. Yeah. Like even the lines when they're in the bookstore, like someone's looking at you in personal growth.
Love that.
Like she's funny. Yes. Like she's just a funny character.
But I love when they're singing Surrey with the Fringe on top,
too.
Did
you love that?
Because that's like a true friendship, I think. When Harry and Sally are both kind of singing and then his ex-wife, whose name I can't recall, shows up and kind of ruins the whole thing. Do you remember her
that's
name?
That's so life though, isn't it?
And she's very, like, sedate and calm.
Yeah. See what I mean about a movie when you watch it then and watch it now? Like, I was saying this to you earlier before we were podcasting, but I was saying what's interesting about movies is you watch a movie. Like, I probably saw this movie in high school, to be honest, because I remember seeing it when I was young and watching it with my friend Kim and many times. And I hadn't even had a life yet. And now you're bringing up that scene. And I remember it clearly, like how you're right, like how weird it is because they're having this good old time. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it gets like totally like just quiet and weird and awkward and like sullen. Mm-hmm. And well, now I'm divorced twice and I've had moments like that in my life where you're somewhere and you're just You've moved on. You're having a good old time. And then your ex just pops in somewhere. And it's like really awkward. Like, I know that feeling so well.
Oh, yeah, that stinks.
And I can, it's just funny to me because, like, when I saw it the first time or the first couple times, I had no experience with that.
Okay,
so now I see a scene like that and I'm like, it hits me. I'm like, oh my God, I know what that feels like.
Now that you understand.
Yeah.
Did you have a clue what days of the week underpants were? Because that's like my generation, not yours.
I think I did. I think it is still a funny line because she's like, where was Sunday? Where did it go? Where could it have been?
Did you understand
what was going on? Yeah, and he's like, why? Because of God.
Because of God. They don't make it. They don't make them anymore. I loved Ira. Was Ira the accountant she dated? Sheldon.
That's when he's like, you didn't have great sex with Sheldon.
Yeah. Yeah. No one has great sex with Sheldon.
No.
He can do your taxes, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think why we love it, too, is you see them go through this arc. And the funny part is, even though in the first, like, the drive, right, they have to do this drive together, they don't know each other. And even from the beginning, they have, like, a married couple banter, the way they talk to each other. Like, I think that's why you root for them a little, because they're like, at each other a little bit. Like, they're just, but they're, it's kind of like when you watch an old married couple together, where they're so comfortable that they just don't give a shit. Have you ever seen people like that?
Yeah. I remember her the minute he gets to the car. I think she organized every leg of the trip, though.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do this, this, and this. And he's like, hey, whatever, man. Trying to be his old easygoing dark self or whatever image he was trying to create. So I see them as very different, but it was funny. The overlap.
Yeah. It's funny because maybe it's just my mother. Like, I joked with you at breakfast. Like, my mom, she's very particular the way she orders, has always been. And that kind of scene, like, even just the way she's being her and she's so doot-doot-doot with all her weird shit. And then, like, that is so my parents on some level. My dad is definitely not Billy Crystal because he's not... I mean, he's funny, but he's not, like, funny like Billy Crystal's funny. But he... The way they are with each other is so similar to that. It's like my mom is acting nuts and annoying and like my dad's just like, okay, here we go, you know, like, and she's like annoyed with the way he is, but they are together and they love each other and they've been married for, I mean, it's just weird, but that's my example, everyone, of a long-lasting relationship is, I don't know. It's like the ultimate acceptance. That's how my parents are. Like they're like, they just full-on accept each other. Exactly as they are. My mom with all her weird shit, and then my dad for whatever he is, they just go, okay, cool, whatever, fine.
So that sounds like it's the key too. Knowing who you are and not wanting to change the other person at all.
That's it. You can't change the other person.
That's right.
Well, you guys, if you were looking to figure out about love today, we just figured it out for you.
Boom, there it is.
Just listen to this 3 times a week. You're good to go. Watch Harry Met Sally, The Golden Bachelor. What else?
Harold and Maude is another lovely love story.
I have to shout out. There's a movie that I put on last night. It's really, actually really good. It's kind of an indie movie. It's on Apple TV right now. It's called Fingernails. I'm going to shout out to this movie if you want to check it out. If you have Apple TV, it's free, so just watch it. And it's the strangest setup. Can I just share with you real quick?
Is it horror?
No, it's actually a romantic comedy. So it's in the same category. It's the setup is, this is so weird too. And it's awesome. It's weird. They don't give you a time period, whether it's like the future or whatever. It kind of looks like some of these movies do where it's like, is this the 90s or is it now? And I don't know. It just has like a random unclear time period. But the setup is that it's a time where scientist or whoever has come up with this test that you can take. And if you're with somebody and you like think you're in love and you guys have a relationship, you take this test. It's like a physical, and it's kind of the reason it's called Fingernails, because this part's a little creepy, but they don't show it too much in the movie. But you like something to do with something in your fingernail. They like pull your fingernail off.
Crap, you're kidding.
No, I'm not. But that part, they don't even really show it until you're deep into the movie. And they run it through this machine And the machine, with full accuracy, will tell you whether you're 100% meant to be together, like you're absolutely in love for the rest of your life. This is your person. This test will tell you, based on physical DNA, that you two are a match. So this is the setup of this movie. And this girl is with this guy, and the setup in the movie is that, like, some people have done it, some people don't want to do it. They have friends that have done it, that are in relationships. And then there's also people that have done it, and then they had to, like, obviously they broke up with the person, mm-hmm. because the test didn't verify the love they had for each other, and they feel like this test is everything. So I guess I shouldn't be with them. And it evolves, because then she goes and wants to work for the company that does this. And then she, like, the main character, like, sees, like, all the tests that they do. And they do all these exercises with people to prepare them for the test, where they have to, like, it's kind of interesting. Like, would all you these take love the exercises.
Would you take it or no?
No, I would not take it. And that is kind of the whole concept of the whole movie, is, like, is it worth knowing something like that? And does it really matter? Because there's parts in that, there's relationships in the story that, like, whoa, sorry, that's loud. They are, like, people that are really good together, and they've been together a couple years. And then you see them at, like, dinner parties, and they're like, are you guys going to take the test? And they're like, I don't know. He doesn't want to do it, but I want to do it. And, like, and then she's like, but don't you want to know? Like, don't you want to just be certain? And he's like, I think it's not a good idea, you know? And then you see them, like, a week later, and they're, like, not together. Because the test said they weren't a match.
Or would the challenge be fun? You know, there's some personalities who'd be like, yeah, the test said this, but
we're still going
to
stay together.
I'm dying to be with this person.
That's right. So that's the whole question. That's the whole umbrella of the movie, is, like, that whole thing of, like, does it matter? Would it even matter if there was a test that could test this is your person? I don't know. It's interesting, right? It's such a great, like, setup for a story.
And it reminds me of genetic testing a little bit, because I took some of that.
What's that? What do you mean?
When I had cancer, I took genetic testing to see if there was a predisposition in my family. And my family's not big enough, unfortunately, to have any definitive results. But some people wanted to know, and some people did not want to know.
Right.
And it kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, and, like, what's the benefit of knowing?
To me, if I knew I had a predisposition to something, I'd probably worry more about my diet and exercise, or the contributing factors that could help. But then again, I also went down that rabbit hole, and it's like, how much more time do you get by doing those sacrifices? Is it worth it? Yeah. Is it a month, a year?
Yeah, I mean, it is the same kind of concept. Like, is it really worth knowing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. I'm going to have to end this soon. This is getting long and you have things to do. But I was thinking, like, I loved the setup of this movie. It's actually really fun to watch. And in relation to what we were just talking about with the other movie, like, if that actually happened now, like, how would that affect the world? Like, I think about people that are struggling in their marriages, or people that are going through doubts, or, 'cause that happens all the time. I mean, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, if suddenly out of nowhere, they're like, we have a test now, you don't have to be confused. Like, if you're not sure, this will answer it for you. Like, how many people would bite on that? And, like, would that change the way that people fall in love? Like, it's always these different things, right? Like, how would you pick a partner?
I think it would be a great excuse for people who are on the fence.
Right, but what if you took the test and you were a match?
Oh, and then you had, like, 1 foot out the door?
Yeah, and you had 1 foot out the door.
Yeah.
Then would you have to work on it? What would it compel you to work on?
Or what about people who are cheating? And they're like, okay, I'll take this test.
And they're like, no, you guys are 100%.
Yeah. Oh, man. Too much to think about.
Sorry, I went there. But, well, anyway, this was really fun. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. And if you want to be on my show, it's this simple. Just literally, I don't know, message me if you're in the vicinity. I'm happy to have you on. Talking to people is my thing. So, Melissa, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I'll have what she's having.
I know. We didn't even talk about the most famous scene.
I know. I know. It was awesome. And it reminds me of that scene in Seinfeld where Elaine's telling Jerry, fake, fake, fake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
God, that is such a similar relationship too. Right?
It's true.
Elaine and Jerry, same.
Good point.
Because that was the whole premise. They dated and then they were just friends.
And they did it.
And they did it.
Just fine.
They seem to do it. All right, guys. Well, I'm gonna end it. Enjoy your day, whatever you're doing. Go watch some fun movies. I don't know. Follow all my Insta and my social and all the things, and I'll let you know what's happening next. And see you next time.
Bye.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. That was so random.
We're gonna get you.
Olive number three.
I'd like the chef salad, please, with the oil and vinegar on the side and the apple pie a la mode.
Chef and apple a la mode.
But I'd like the pie heated, and I don't want the ice cream on top. I want it on the side, and I like strawberry instead of vanilla if you have it. If not, then no ice cream, just whipped cream, but only if it's real. If it's out of a can, then nothing.
Not even the pie?
No, just the pie, but then not heated.
Uh-huh.